as they come into the finalization of their plans. I don't know how to express the myriads of amounts of information that are flowing so rapidly through your various and sundry minds. I know that you're concerned and considering some of the prophecies that have been dumped on you as of late. You're going to have a comet coming in, you're going to have an eclipse, you're going to have some celebrations of some remarkable days. And because you won't have access yet to yesterday's information, I'm going to do a little bit of a breakdown regarding that writing because of the seriousness of Soltec's recent information regarding earthquakes. I'm always asked, why do we center so much attention onto California? Because that's where a lot of the most important things will be happening. Not necessarily more important to ones in Texas, but for the overall evolution of a planet under these circumstances, a lot of it is very important out here. Always comes the inquiry, well, if I'm just in your location, that's enough. No, it's not. Don't fool yourselves. This is one of the most dangerous locations of anywhere on your planet. There are many ways to get your little bones broken. There is one reason, and one reason only, that this place brings safety. And that is if you are in service to the hosts of God, in God's command. Period. Otherwise, this is, I will repeat, the most dangerous place that you can be located on the planet itself. Now, I know that you ones want to play games, and you want to play games with what is God, who is God, etc. But you want to play those games with the information drilled into you by other ones. That's fine. But that doesn't mean that it's going to fit with the truth of it. And the fact that you are here must indicate that you have an inkling this may be the truth of it. And as I said in yesterday's writing, you can put medicine wheels, a bunch of rocks, in as many circles as you want to. And then you can light up any pipe that you want to, with anything that you want to, until it billows purple smoke. I don't care. It won't make any difference. Well, why would I put my scribe to such a risk? Well, location-wise, I can lift her off. What makes the area that is this close to the San Andreas Fault, the Garlock Fault, etc., etc., in any kind of security? Well, there are some reasons, but I think that you will understand if any of you in the early 50s experienced or look at the pictures of what happened in Tehachapi in Bakersfield in the early 50s. You will find total destruction. Well, then what makes us think we're so smart? Well, what made the beginnings of mankind so smart as to put some things in this location? Could it be they knew that some things would be happening and some remnant of whatever physical things were placed in this area might have an opportunity to survive, to be available to whatever civilization may follow this one. Many things to consider. Why do you think that out in the Mojave Desert they have worked on these faults and they have worked on the systems until they have it turned into jello? Why do you think you've had over 45,000 measurable quakes since summer? Well, when it slips, with it pulverized or liquefied, you will have a more gradual slippage rather than jerk, jerk, jerk. And I go this way because this is the way it's going to be. As the Pacific plate slips against the North American plate, it will slip to the north and it will shove under. Already it has shoved under. And the highest point along your San Andreas Fault in this area is at Palmdale, on the coastal side. But what will happen is that in the massive upsurge, it will split open, and it will tend to topple the coastal side, and then this area is destined to be pushed on higher. So that this area will probably be near the epicenter of the highest point remaining. Now that may not happen all at once, or it may happen all at once. But a lot of attention has been poured into security, both from our command and from your own military, your own governmental and earth command, if you will. Because of all those underground facilities that they don't want to lose and don't want to have so damaged that they're unusable, because some of them may very well end up underwater. And they are built to withstand that. So I don't want to go into all of that rehash of lessons that you've been given long ago about the rise of this area and the Mojave Desert, etc. But there are reasons. They're not mystical. They're very realistic. On the other hand, I have to remind all ones that there is no group here. I have a writer here, I have a speaker here, and we have some projects that we are going to do. I do not even like the term survival. It indicates something drastic. I'm not interested in going into business other than as required for getting our remnant through. I do expect that which has been signed under agreement so that we can do these things necessary. I will disappoint many ones of you who have great plans and great exuberance in furthering the word and increasing that which we already have. No, we're not in any measure whatsoever asking for any attention other than comes from the Liberator and the journals that we write on subjects that I cannot get information to the people any other way. The less attention called to this unit is what is demanded. Not hyper-advertising. The word goes where the word belongs, to the ears. And then these meetings are for the sharing where we can discuss some of the business things, but also some of the more fundamental things. For instance, it's time to pull Bob Turner into my presence. And when we do that, I want Mike present. Oh, well, they're select. Yes, they are. But I'm not up here to preach and have equality of all. Ones are expected who come here to do their job, do what they are talented to do, and never mind what is another's position unless it impacts you. And because this is perceived very frequently by ones out prattling, that this is some sort of a group or groupie, really weird. Ones who have something to offer won't come. Sometimes because their task is so important, they daresn't have it aired. And others come because they have respect and also have enough common sense to keep silence. If we tell all of God's plans, how long do you think it will be before we're stopped? You know man better than that. And surprisingly enough, man is as bad as woman. I'm sorry that it isn't like you wish it would be. I'm sorry that one's coming wishing it would be a commune of some kind or disappointed. And in that instance, you're welcome to go build your commune. But please don't have it relative to me or any of this operation. Base it on God. That's all I utilize. And that means you have to be gentle and kind one with another. The most important thrust for some of you ones is in the area of that Constitutional Law Center. It's going to bury you if you don't get on with it. And until you get on with it, there will not be funding enough for the projects. And you are bordering on two projects now that should bring massive sums of money into the Constitutional Law Center to further the work of that center. I didn't say Tehachapi, except as the branch of the Constitutional Law Center that would be attached. What the Law Center does has nothing to do with what the storehouse does. I don't know how to get it across, because it continually comes back to me that we've got to do this and we've got to do that. No, you don't have to do anything. I have asked that the projects be put on hold in a state position. We've gotten burned, we've gotten stung, we've gotten hurt. And we're not going to spend any more money on projects. We're going to keep all funding in security, because all ones don't understand what it is they're doing. I hope that it will not be long. You see, all things can move as long as all ones are keeping some semblance of the agreements and contractual agreements. That's the word. But you see, that doesn't happen with Earthmen. From the smallest damn agreement called a marriage license to his contract with God, man breaks it. So we have to work around it. And there's something else about God. God does not threaten, and neither do God's troops. When we say something, it's going to happen. And when I said to let my people go, I meant it. There has been very small demand relative to that which is out there for use. And I expect it to be honored. Well, then I made a statement that is questioned. Well, what do you mean by being like Pac-Man? Well, I didn't realize I was starting anything. But I'll tell you something. Whatever you visualize, that's about the way it is. You see, there is an earth game in a human form. The higher you get, the more powerful the weapons. And there does come a point where you can uncreate that which is created. Just like Pac-Man. I suggest you get out of my way if you break your agreements. Or you better get busy right fast making them right. Well, certainly Hatton has changed from that sweet, dear old friend I knew year before last. No, Hatton has not changed. Either you have not studied or you've forgotten. As a parent, I will buffer. And as the child, you can get away with a lot. For instance, this one can get away with almost anything in this room. But I would expect the adults to maintain a little bit more, you know, sedate performance. But these little ones are the ones that will bring you home. That does not mean that you give them free rein. That one will be sorry that that word came out. Let's just move on. I believe that I've reminded you enough that we have a job. We have many jobs. But let's not misunderstand what they are. And what is between people is not the same as what is between God and you, just because I speak through this one. You will note that the speaking now coming from various and sundry of the higher master teachers are coming from different locations. That's so that focus can be put on those locations as necessary and also give you confirmation. I believe that you will find when one of you say, well, don't you guys upstairs get your act together? Yes, we do. I don't know where you are, but we do. And I believe that you ones finding validity in speakers and receivers are finding that you will feel that we are all, including the speaker, sitting in the same room deciding what to write about so that it meshes. But the editors find that the writing from me on a given day will only balance that which comes in the night. From Arizona, or Arkansas, or Texas, or Nevada, as if we planned it sitting at a table choosing up what to write about. That's your confirmation. There get to be fewer and fewer ways to give the immediate workers confirmation Because you're so close to it, it's very hard to see. And you need other speakers, so that when you get on the outs with me, you have someone else to turn to. Because heaven forbid you just turn to God. You know, let's try all those in-between ones first. See how it goes. We have one who's now gotten close enough to the perfection of understanding the Kondriana and the crystalline life forms that we can begin to move on. I will only give product in the Liberator or in the journals that I speak of and ones need a place to get the product. We're not in the whole life business. We're not in the health food store business. That doesn't mean that ones can't go get in that business. It means that we are not in that business, and I will not turn the Liberator into an advertising paper. But I will always, when we speak of anything, give ones a resource. And if there are no ready resources, we will provide the resource. That is the only reason that we make some products available. Ones have trouble getting them. Many of our users are elderly and are restricted to getting it through the mail. Or it isn't available in their area. Many ones have listened not just to me, but from the myriad of speakers and have begun to move away from the cities where you can find easily things into rural areas where you can't get it at all. So those are the things that we will always effort to make available. Now, most of you have the vaguest idea what we're even talking about when we talk about these products. When I write about Kondriana, how many of you know explicitly what its DNA molecular structure is could go and create it? That's why you don't need to worry about that. There will be the ones who know what to do with the information. And I am told that I'm a master of understatement. I'm also told that I'm a master at overstating until you're sick of it. But sometimes it takes the one that needs to hear a little longer to understand that I'm talking to him or to her. And I did. I just told an old friend, congratulations, you've just created the cure for every disease on the planet. All of you should have seen him when he got the note. This is not champagne time. This is break into tears time. And humble gratitude. But you see, he did it. You can do it. He listened. He paid attention. And he did it. But that's not enough. And we don't use the term cure as we move forward. These are things that allow the body to heal itself or make itself, restructure its cellular structure into wholeness. And then it can slough off those things that impact it. When we speak of antioxidants, what in the world does that mean to you? Oh, well, it's CoQ2, or it's vitamin E, or it's Goodness gracious, it can be anything. But what does it mean? Dorma just said, well, you give us, you know, hydrogen peroxide to oxygenate stuff. And you've demanded that so-and-so get folic acid into, you know, into abundance into this product. And then you tell us to take antioxidants. What does that do? Counter the oxygen that you just... No, it is stupidity in the language of the scientific community. You've heard of scientific intelligence? That's like British intelligence. It is totally erroneous. Religious science. You either have one or the other. You do not ever have both. So Dr. Young didn't volunteer, so I'm going to volunteer him to give us a brief statement. Well, he can have as long as he wants. If you want to have questions, this is the man's business. He didn't come down here to put commas and periods in a liberator. He came down here to do whatever was necessary and required of him, and he's done it brilliantly. And he has a team that has worked diligently and brilliantly. But he's going to tell us now, from the scientific standpoint, what is an antioxidant. And I thank you. And then he's going to share something funny that we can all laugh at.
Is this working? Yeah. This came up a few nights ago when we were talking about this business of oxygenating people with hydrogen peroxide, and then why on earth do we then want antioxidants? And the problem comes from chemists, the way chemistry is set up and the way the words go from naming things in chemistry to the way they're used by the pharmacologists or the people who want to push vitamins and get you scared if you don't take this product or that product, your arm's going to fall off or your liver's going to fall out or something like that. So there's a lot of distortion through that entire money-making network. And to get back to the basics, though, what you have to understand is that oxidation, in general, does not mean necessarily using oxygen. Oxygen happened to be one of the ways or reactions with, say, iron and oxide to form iron oxide rust, okay, was one of the ways that you, the people, the chemists, began to understand what was going on in the fundamental mechanism that's called oxidation. If I tell you, strictly speaking, oxidation means that something loses an electron and reduction means that something gains an electron back again, then you have the truth of oxidation. Reactions with oxygen are one kind of reaction that something loses an electron to the oxygen and the oxygen bonds to it. And so that's where oxidation basically comes from. So when you have people talking about antioxidants now, let's go another step further from that. If you now talk about antioxidants, you're talking about something that, I won't mention anybody's name, but we've had a recent allusion to the Pac-Man game for the interplanetary elevation of a planet and the transformation. So using that same model, which works just as well in radicals and antioxidants, we have things in our body called free radicals. Now, I'm still trying to untangle parts of that because the biochemical literature is so full of terms and so full of misnomers and so full of making things complicated that are basically simple. You have to go backwards to get to the simplicity. But let me just say that free radicals are the things you hear about in all of the vitamin literature. The antioxidants are like Pac-Men that scavenge up free radicals. No, they don't scavenge them up. What antioxidants do, a free radical is a piece of a large molecule. There's lots of them in your cells. And those molecules transfer energy. They're like little machines inside your cells in mitochondria, and it's just amazing when you get into cellular, the biophysics and the biochemistry of cells. There's a lot going on in every one of your cells. Anyway, In some of those reactions that occur in your cells, there are oxidation reactions. That is, an electron is lost from one big molecule to something else, and then energy is released, and then in the other direction, an electron flies back again into another molecule, and these work through different biochemical pumps. Sometimes these molecules, though, get damaged, or for one reason or another, they split apart. When they split apart, often they're charged, and there'll be a net, say, positive charge. Well, that means you've got a hunk of a molecule that isn't quite something that, for lack of a better word, is digestible by the cell or usable. And if it bumps into something else, it may pull a charge from it and wreck something else. So as a result, if you have antioxidants around, you have a source of something that can cancel out that broken molecule, at least neutralize it electrically. See, chemists hate to admit that chemistry is basically electrical engineering. It's basically electronics. You're talking about electrons, and then you talk about what's an electron and what are these particles. Well, then they are light condensed. So I don't want to get into that level of things right now, but let's just say that the chemist won't admit the basic electronics of what goes on in chemistry. So what an antioxidant does is it helps to cancel out, let's say, a charge on a piece of a large molecule. Now, some of the people in the vitamin literature are trying to tell us that these free radicals damage cells. They bump into cell walls and damage it and do different things. Well, I don't have any data on that. I don't know exactly what's going on, and I don't know what they're using to come to those conclusions. It's just out of my purview right now.
It's out of theirs, too. It doesn't work the way they're telling you.
Okay, that, I sort of suspected that, but I don't have any data to prove it yet. Anyway, the point is, hydrogen peroxide works in a certain way that in the process of it dissolving from hydrogen peroxide into water and into oxygen molecules combining together, emits light. I won't call it light like you see light here in the room necessarily, but let's just call it a light that will burst the viruses that could be in your body. So you have a source of energy that will destroy viruses, a very elegant source of energy, because once it has emitted the light, it is nothing but oxygen and water, which is very useful in all of your cells. The oxygen itself is used in various other reactions in the cell, obviously. That's why you breathe. So there is a great deal of use for hydrogen peroxide as a way to get rid of things like viruses. Because in a sense, you could think of even the drops of hydrogen peroxide you put in a gallon of water in your jug. You may not see it, but you can think of a scintillation of light coming out through that water and busting up the viruses that are in there. So it's a very elegant and simple. What else do you want in your water but one more water, which is what you're left with as the hydrogen peroxide decomposes. So it's a very... So now let's get back to antioxidants. Antioxidants are then something that you can take which will help to cancel out a lot of these so-called free radicals and pieces of molecules that are damaged. Now, they're damaged by radiation. We all know how much radiation is coming in, and it's increasing the rate at which it's coming in. Whenever radiation comes in and hits your cell, it's full of molecules, right? So it takes some of those and damages them. So you've got pieces of things sitting in your cells that the cell can't utilize. So if you have something that can come in and, for lack of a better word, Pac-Man it and cancel it out or neutralize it in some way, then you prevent the damage that piece of a broken molecule might do. So that's all. I don't want to get into more of the details of the biochemistry now.
That really helps. That does help. Because there's such a misunderstanding about what it's all about, and I really thank you.
Do you want me to read the other thing now?
Well, yes, we need a good laugh before we get on with with removal of free radicals.
This, I think, was something that came into us through EJ's fax and from a close friend of EJ's family. And it is a letter, and it's one of these kinds of letters like you would see soliciting for funds. And it is titled from Washington, D.C., dated November 4th, and it says, "Dear friend, we have the distinguished honor of being on the committee for raising $5 million for placing a statue of Bill Clinton in the Hall of Fame in Washington, D.C. This committee was in a quandary as to where to place the statue. It was not wise to place it beside the statue of George Washington, who never told a lie, nor beside Jesse Jackson, who never told the truth, since Bill Clinton could never tell the difference." we finally decided to place it beside Christopher Columbus, the greatest Democrat of all. He left not knowing where he was going, did not know where he was when he got there, returned not knowing where he had been, and did it all on borrowed money. Over 5,000 years ago, Moses said to the children of Israel, "Pick up your shovels, mount your asses and camels, and I will lead you to the promised land." Jimmy Carter said, "Lay down your shovels, sit on your asses, and light up a camel. This is the promised land." Now, Bill Clinton is going to steal your shovels, kick your asses, raise taxes on camels, and mortgage the promised land. If you are one of the fortunate people who has anything left after paying taxes, we expect a generous contribution to this worthwhile project. Respectfully, Ron Brown of the Bill Clinton Statue Committee. And then there's a PS. It is said that Bill Clinton is considering changing the Democratic Party emblem from a donkey to a condom because it stands for inflation, protects a bunch of pricks, halts production, and gives a false sense of security while being screwed. Thank you.
Well, life is amusing. I would note that going around, mailed out from the Jewish hierarchy of your country, is one that is almost as silly, but they mean it. They're starting a Holocaust museum. And they have blanketed the Jewish community and, quite frankly, this entire area, because one's getting... And guess what? The light just went off in her brain. Why would I get this? Then they send the whole thing. I'm not even a Jew. Let me tell you, almost all of you are on their list one way or another. Almost all of you. So this went out in a blanket mailing, soliciting funds for this museum to perpetuate the memorial of the Holocaust according to Orthodox truth, they say. And then, as with all non-truth that must be ratified and kept alive, you may not question it. You can only perpetuate it as told. And this is the way history is written. Do you think if at some point the lie of the Holocaust as it was versus as it has been projected makes the horrendous horror of the experience any less? No. It detracts from the gift of those that did suffer, covered by the lies of the ones who did not. And now they've extended it farther. The Israelis get paid off now by the Russians, in addition to the Germans. And you pay in a different way. You don't pay per capita, you just pay for their entire government, their military, their very existence. But you're not to question that. So it becomes equally as ridiculous as what Dr. Young just read. But anything spoken enough, and they will tell you, let us never forget. And each year, the stories get more horrendous because you're into the neck of the funnel, and they must not let you for one moment pull away from the focus. Now, yesterday, I took the time, and I hope that you will read this carefully. I hope you will go and get your atlas, your map of the area around Somalia, and look and see what it is they're doing. You're going to find to the west of Somalia is Ethiopia. Years ago, the Soviets do we need to pause? Would that help?
Might be a good idea to turn the tape anyway.
Boy, as they come into the finalization of their plans. I don't know how to express the myriads of amount of information that are flowing so rapidly through your various and sundry minds. I know that you're concerned and considering some of the prophecies that have been dumped on you as of late. You're going to have a comet coming in. You're going to have an eclipse. You're going to have some celebrations of some remarkable days. And because you won't have access yet to yesterday's information, I'm going to do a little bit of a breakdown regarding that writing because of the seriousness of Soltec's recent information regarding earthquakes. I'm always asked, why do we center so much attention onto California? Because that's where a lot of the most important things will be happening. Not necessarily more important to ones in Texas, but for the overall evolution of a planet under these circumstances, a lot of it is very important out here. Always comes the inquiry, well, if I'm just in your location, that's enough. No, it's not. Don't fool yourselves. This is one of the most dangerous locations of anywhere on your planet. There are many ways to get your little bones broken. There is one reason, and one reason only, that this place brings safety. And that is if you are in service to the hosts of God, in God's command. Period. Otherwise, this is, I will repeat, the most dangerous place that you can be located on the planet itself. Now, I know that you ones want to play games, and you want to play games with what is God, who is God, etc. But you want to play those games with the information drilled into you by other ones. That's fine. But that doesn't mean that it's going to fit with the truth of it. And the fact that you are here must indicate that you have an inkling this may be the truth of it. And as I said in yesterday's writing, you can put medicine wheels, a bunch of rocks, in as many circles as you want to. And then you can light up any pipe that you want to, with anything that you want to, until it billows purple smoke. I don't care. It won't make any difference. Well, why would I put my scribe to such a risk? Well, location-wise, I can lift her off. What makes the area that is this close to the San Andreas Fault, the Garlock Fault, etc., etc., in any kind of security? Well, there are some reasons. But I think that you will understand, if any of you in the early 50s experienced or look at the pictures of what happened in Tehachapi in Bakersfield in the early 50s, you will find total destruction. Well, then what makes us think we're so smart? Well, what made the beginnings of mankind so smart as to put some things in this location? Could it be they knew that some things would be happening and some remnant of whatever physical things were placed in this area might have an opportunity to survive, to be available to whatever civilization may follow this one? Many things to consider. Why do you think that out in the Mojave Desert they have worked on these faults and they have worked on the systems until they have it turned into jello? Why do you think you've had over 45,000 measurable quakes since summer? Well, when it slips, with it pulverized or liquefied, you will have a more gradual slippage rather than jerk, jerk, jerk. And I go this way because this is the way it's going to be. As a Pacific plate slips against the North American plate, it will slip to the north and it will shove under. Already it has shoved under. And the highest point along your San Andreas Fault in this area is at Palmdale, on the coastal side. But what will happen is that in the massive upsurge, it will split open, and it will tend to topple the coastal side. And then this area is destined to be pushed on higher, so that this area will probably be near the epicenter of the highest point remaining. Now, that may not happen all at once, or it may happen all at once, but a lot of attention has been poured into security, both from our command and from your own military, your own governmental and earth command, if you will. Because of all those underground facilities that they don't want to lose and don't want to have so damaged that they're unusable, because some of them may very well end up underwater. And they are built to withstand that. So I don't want to go into all of that rehash of lessons that you've been given long ago about the rise of this area and the Mojave Desert, etc. But there are reasons. They're not mystical. They're very realistic. On the other hand, I have to remind all ones that there is no group here. I have a writer here. I have a speaker here. And we have some projects that we are going to do. I do not even like the term survival. It indicates something drastic. I'm not interested in going into business other than as required for getting our remnant through. I do expect that which has been signed under agreement, so that we can do these things necessary. I will disappoint many ones of you who have great plans and great exuberance in furthering the word and increasing that which we already have. No, we're not in any measure whatsoever asking for any attention other than comes from the Liberator and the journals that we write on subjects that I cannot get information to the people any other way. The less attention called to this unit is what is demanded. Not hyper-advertising. The word goes where the word belongs, to the ears. And in these meetings are for the sharing, where we can discuss some of the business things, but also some of the more fundamental things. For instance, it's time to pull Bob Turner into my presence. And when we do that, I want Mike present. Oh, well, they're select. Yes, they are. But I'm not up here to preach and have equality of all. Ones are expected who come here to do their job, do what they are talented to do, and never mind what is another's position unless it impacts you. And because this is perceived very frequently by ones out prattling, that this is some sort of a group or groupie, really weird, ones who have something to offer won't come. Sometimes because their task is so important, they daresn't have it aired. And others come because they have respect and also have enough common sense to keep silence. If we tell all of God's plans, how long do you think it will be before we're stopped? You know man better than that. And surprisingly enough, man is as bad as woman. I'm sorry that it isn't like you wish it would be. I'm sorry that one's coming wishing it would be a commune of some kind or disappointed. And in that instance, you're welcome to go build your commune, but please don't have it relative to me or any of this operation. Base it on God. That's all I utilize. And that means you have to be gentle and kind one with another. The most important thrust for some of you ones is in the area of that Constitutional Law Center. It's going to bury you if you don't get on with it. And until you get on with it, there will not be funding enough for the projects. And you are bordering on two projects now that should bring massive sums of money into the Constitutional Law Center to further the work of that center. I didn't say Tehachapi, except as the branch of the Constitutional Law Center that would be attached. What the law center does has nothing to do with what the storehouse does. I don't know how to get it across, because it continually comes back to me that we've got to do this and we've got to do that. No, you don't have to do anything. I have asked that the projects be put on hold in a stay position. We've gotten burned, we've gotten stung, we've gotten hurt. and we're not going to spend any more money on projects. We're going to keep all funding in security because all ones don't understand what it is they're doing. I hope that it will not be long. You see, all things can move as long as all ones are keeping some semblance of the agreements and contractual agreements. That's the word. But you see, that doesn't happen with Earthmen. From the smallest damn agreement called a marriage license to his contract with God, man breaks it. So we have to work around it. And there's something else about God. God does not threaten, and neither do God's troops. When we say something, it's going to happen. And when I said to let my people go, I meant it. There has been very small demand relative to that which is out there for use. And I expect it to be honored. Well, then I made a statement that is questioned. Well, what do you mean by being like Pac-Man? Well, I didn't realize I was starting anything. But I'll tell you something. Whatever you visualize, that's about the way it is. You see, there is an earth game in a human form. The higher you get, the more powerful the weapons. And there does come a point where you can uncreate that which is created, just like Pac-Man. I suggest you get out of my way if you break your agreements. Or you better get busy right fast making them right. Well, certainly Hatton has changed from that sweet, dear old friend I knew year before last. No, Hatton has not changed. Either you have not studied or you've forgotten. As a parent, I will buffer. And as the child, you can get away with a lot. For instance, this one can get away with almost anything in this room. But I would expect the adults to maintain a little bit more, you know, sedate performance. But these little ones are the ones that will bring you home. That does not mean that you give them free rein. That one will be sorry that that word came out. Let's just move on. I believe that I've reminded you enough that we have a job. We have many jobs. But let's not misunderstand what they are. And what is between people is not the same as what is between God and you, just because I speak through this one. You will note that the speaking now coming from various and sundry of the higher master teachers are coming from different locations. That's so that focus can be put on those locations as necessary and also give you confirmation. I believe that you will find when one of you say, well, don't you guys upstairs get your act together? Yes, we do. I don't know where you are, but we do. And I believe that you ones finding validity in speakers and receivers are finding that you would feel that we are all, including the speaker, sitting in the same room deciding what to write about so that it meshes. But the editors find that the writing from me on a given day will only balance that which comes in the night from Arizona or Arkansas or Texas or Nevada, as if we planned it sitting at a table choosing up what to write about. That's your confirmation. There get to be fewer and fewer ways to give the immediate workers confirmation. Because you're so close to it, it's very hard to see. And you need other speakers so that when you get on the outs with me, you have someone else to turn to. Because heaven forbid you just turn to God. You know, let's trial those in-between ones first. See how it goes. We have one who's now gotten close enough to the perfection of understanding the Chondriana and the crystalline life forms that we can begin to move on. I will only give product in the Liberator or in the journals that I speak of and ones need a place to get the product. We're not in the whole life business. We're not in the health food store business. That doesn't mean that ones can't go get in that business. It means that we are not in that business, and I will not turn the Liberator into an advertising paper. But I will always, when we speak of anything, give ones a resource. And if there are no ready resources, we will provide the resource. That is the only reason that we make some products available. Ones have trouble getting them. Many of our users are elderly and are restricted to getting it through the mail. Or it isn't available in their area. Many ones have listened not just to me, but from the myriad of speakers, and have begun to move away from the cities where you can find easily things into rural areas where you can't get it at all. So those are the things that we will always effort to make available. Now, most of you have the vaguest idea what we're even talking about when we talk about these products. When I write about Chondriana, how many of you know explicitly what its DNA molecular structure is, could go and create it? That's why you don't need to worry about that. There will be the ones who know what to do with the information. And I am told that I'm a master of understatement. I'm also told that I'm a master at overstating until you're sick of it. But sometimes it takes the one that needs to hear a little longer to understand that I'm talking to him or to her. And I did. I just told an old friend, congratulations, you've just created the cure for every disease on the planet. All of you should have seen him when he got the note. This is not champagne time. This is break into tears time. and humble gratitude. But you see, he did it. You can do it. He listened, he paid attention, and he did it. But that's not enough. And we don't use the term cure as we move forward. These are things that allow the body to heal itself or make itself, restructure its cellular structure into wholeness. And then it can slough off those things that impact it. When we speak of antioxidants, what in the world does that mean to you? Oh, well, it's CoQ2. Or it's vitamin E. Or it's, goodness gracious, it can be anything. But what does it mean? Dorma just said, well, you give us, you know, hydrogen peroxide to oxygenate stuff. And you've demanded that so-and-so get folic acid into, you know, into abundance into this product. And then you tell us to take antioxidants. What does that do? Counter the oxygen that you just... No, it is stupidity in the language of the scientific community. You've heard of scientific intelligence? That's like British intelligence. It is totally erroneous. Religious science. You either have one or the other. You do not ever have both. So Dr. Young didn't volunteer, so I'm going to volunteer him to give us a brief statement. Well, he can have as long as he wants. If you ones have questions, this is the man's business. He didn't come down here to put commas and periods in a liberator. He came down here to do whatever was necessary and required of him, and he's done it brilliantly. And he has a team that has worked diligently and brilliantly. But he's going to tell us now, from the scientific standpoint, what is an antioxidant. And I thank you. And then he's going to share something funny that we can all laugh at.
Is this working? Yeah. This came up a few nights ago when we were talking about this business of oxygenating people with hydrogen peroxide, and then why on earth do we then want antioxidants? And the problem comes from chemists, the way chemistry is set up and the way the words go from naming things in chemistry to the way they're used by the pharmacologists or the people who want to push vitamins and get you scared if you don't take this product or that product, your arm's going to fall off or your liver's going to fall out or something like that. So there's a lot of distortion through that entire money-making network. And to get back to the basics, though, what you have to understand is that oxidation, in general, does not mean necessarily using oxygen. Oxygen happened to be one of the ways or reactions with, say, iron and oxide to form iron oxide rust, okay, was one of the ways that chemists began to understand what was going on in the fundamental mechanism that's called oxidation. If I tell you, strictly speaking, oxidation means that something loses an electron and reduction means that something gains an electron back again, then you have the truth of oxidation. Reactions with oxygen are one kind of reaction that something loses an electron to the oxygen and the oxygen bonds to it. And so that's where oxidation basically comes from. So when you have people talking about antioxidants now, let's go another step further from that. If you now talk about antioxidants, you're talking about something that, I won't mention anybody's name, but we've had a recent allusion to the Pac-Man game for for the interplanetary elevation of a planet and the transformation. So using that same model, which works just as well in radicals and antioxidants, we have things in our body called free radicals. Now, I'm still trying to untangle parts of that because the biochemical literature is so full of terms and so full of misnomers and so full of making things complicated that are basically simple. You have to go backwards to get to the simplicity. But let me just say that free radicals are the things you hear about in all of the vitamin literature. The antioxidants are like Pac-Man that scavenge up free radicals. No, they don't scavenge them up. What antioxidants do, a free radical is a piece of a large molecule. There's lots of them in your cells. And those molecules transfer energy. They're like little machines inside your cells in mitochondria, and it's just amazing when you get into cellular, the biophysics and the biochemistry of cells. There's a lot going on in every one of your cells. Anyway, in some of those reactions that occur in your cells, there are oxidation reactions. That is, an electron is lost from one big molecule to something else, and then energy is released, and then in the other direction, an electron flies back again into another molecule, and these work through different biochemical pumps. Sometimes these molecules, though, get damaged, or for one reason or another, they split apart. When they split apart, often they're charged, and there'll be a net, say, positive charge. Well, that means you've got a hunk of a molecule that isn't quite something that, for lack of a better word, is digestible by the cell or usable, and if it bumps into something else, it may pull a charge from it and wreck something else. So as a result, if you have antioxidants around, you have a source of something that can cancel out that broken molecule, at least neutralize it electrically. See, chemists hate to admit that chemistry is basically electrical engineering. It's basically electronics. You're talking about electrons, and then you talk about what's an electron and what are these particles. Well, then they are light condensed. So I don't want to get into that level of things right now, but let's just say that the chemist won't admit the basic electronics of what goes on in chemistry. So what an antioxidant does is it helps to cancel out, let's say, a charge on a piece of a large molecule. Now, some of the people in the vitamin literature are trying to tell us that these free radicals damage cells. They bump into cell walls and damage it and do different things. Well, I don't have any data on that. I don't know exactly what's going on, and I don't know what they're using to come to those conclusions. It's just out of my purview right now.
It's out of theirs, too. It doesn't work the way they're telling you.
Okay, I sort of suspected that, but I don't have any data to prove it yet. Anyway, the point is, hydrogen peroxide works in a certain way that in the process of it dissolving from hydrogen peroxide into water and into oxygen molecules combining together, emits light. I won't call it light like you see light here in the room necessarily, but let's just call it a light that will burst the viruses that could be in your body. So you have a source of energy that will destroy viruses, a very elegant source of energy, because once it has emitted the light, it is nothing but oxygen and water, which is very useful in all of your cells. The oxygen itself is used in various other reactions in the cell, obviously. That's why you breathe. So there is a great deal of use for hydrogen peroxide as a way to get rid of things like viruses. Because in a sense, you could think of even the drops of hydrogen peroxide you put in a gallon of water in your jug. You may not see it, but you can think of a scintillation of light coming out through that water and busting up the viruses that are in there. So it's a very elegant and simple. What else do you want in your water but one more water, which is what you're left with as the hydrogen peroxide decomposes. So it's a very... So now let's get back to antioxidants. Antioxidants are then something that you can take which will help to cancel out a lot of these so-called free radicals and pieces of molecules that are damaged. Now, they're damaged by radiation. We all know how much radiation is coming in, and it's increasing the rate at which it's coming in. Whenever radiation comes in and hits your cell, it's full of molecules, right? So it takes some of those and damages them. So you've got pieces of things sitting in your cells that the cell can't utilize. So if you have something that can come in and, for lack of a better word, Pac-Man it and cancel it out or neutralize it in some way, then you prevent the damage that piece of a broken molecule might do. So that's all. I don't want to get into more of the details of the biochemistry now.
That really helps. That does help. Because there's such a misunderstanding about what it's all about. And I really thank you.
You want me to read the other thing now?
Well, yes, we need a good laugh before we get on with...
Okay.
with the removal of free radicals.
This, I think, was something that came into us through EJ's fax and from a close friend of EJ's family. And it is a letter, and it's one of these kinds of letters like you would see soliciting for funds. And it is titled from Washington, D.C., dated November 4th, and it says, "Dear friend, we have the distinguished honor of being on the committee for raising $5 million for placing a statue of Bill Clinton in the Hall of Fame in Washington, D.C. This committee was in a quandary as to where to place the statue. It was not wise to place it beside the statue of George Washington, who never told a lie, nor beside Jesse Jackson, who never told the truth, since Bill Clinton could never tell the difference. We finally decided to place it beside Christopher Columbus, the greatest Democrat of all. He left not knowing where he was going, did not know where he was when he got there, returned not knowing where he had been, and did it all on borrowed money. Over 5,000 years ago, Moses said to the children of Israel, 'Pick up your shovels, mount your asses and camels, and I will lead you to the promised land.' Jimmy Carter said, 'Lay down your shovels, sit on your asses, and light up a camel. This is the promised land.' Now, Bill Clinton is going to steal your shovels, kick your asses, raise taxes on camels, and mortgage the promised land. If you are one of the fortunate people who has anything left after paying taxes, we expect a generous contribution to this worthwhile project. Respectfully, Ron Brown of the Bill Clinton Statue Committee." And then there's a P.S. "It is said that Bill Clinton is considering changing the Democratic Party emblem from a donkey to a condom because it stands for inflation, protects a bunch of pricks, halts production, and gives a false sense of security while being screwed. Thank you."
Well, life is amusing. I would note that going around, mailed out from the Jewish hierarchy of your country, is one that is almost as silly, but they mean it. They're starting a Holocaust museum, and they have blanketed the Jewish community and, quite frankly, this entire area, because one's getting, and guess what? The light just went off in her brain. Why would I get this? Then they send the whole thing. I'm not even a Jew. Let me tell you, almost all of you are on their list one way or another. Almost all of you. So this went out in a blanket mailing, soliciting funds for this museum to perpetuate the memorial of the Holocaust according to Orthodox truth, they say. And then, as with all non-truth that must be ratified and kept alive, you may not question it. You can only perpetuate it as told. And this is the way history is written. Do you think if at some point the lie of the Holocaust as it was versus as it has been projected makes the horrendous horror of the experience any less? No. It detracts from the gift of those that did suffer, covered by the lies of the ones who did not. And now they've extended it farther. The Israelis get paid off now by the Russians, in addition to the Germans. And you pay in a different way. You don't pay per capita, you just pay for their entire government, their military, their very existence. But you're not to question that. So it becomes equally as ridiculous as what Dr. Young just read. But anything spoken enough, and they will tell you, let us never forget. And each year, the stories get more horrendous because you're into the neck of the funnel, and they must not let you for one moment pull away from the focus. Now, yesterday, I took the time, and I hope that you will read this carefully. I hope you will go and get your atlas, your map of the area around Somalia, and look and see what it is they're doing. You're going to find to the west of Somalia is Ethiopia. Years ago, the Soviets do we need to pause? Would that help?
Might be a good idea to turn the tape anyway.